This is a message that was recorded at Word of Life, a London City church in Lewisham, London. May God bless you as you listen.
Amen. Okay. Family breakdown. I'm just going to do a very, very brief introduction to the whole area of family breakdown this evening. Okay, but I just want to initially just speak about the fact that family is God's idea. You know, family is God's creation. God divinely created family. And we can see that we're going to go into the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to read from verse 27 to 28. Okay, so when you hear that word family, the whole concept of family came from God. God created it. It is God's idea. And anything that is God's idea is a good idea. Okay? Is a perfect idea. Amen. Genesis 1 verse 27 tells us, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And then verse 28, it says, then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And with these two verses, we see family basically created and birth into the realm of the earth by God. What did God do? God created male and female. And once he created male and female, he said to them, go and replenish the earth. Multiply. Be fruitful. Multiply. Have dominion over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So family came about when we looked at those two scriptures. That was how God instituted family. Yes, he first instituted marriage, you know, between a man and a woman, okay? But God's concern was not just for the man and the woman. It wasn't just so that marriage would be instituted, but he was looking beyond just marriage. He was looking into the concept of family. Okay, he established the family as the basic unit in society. So family is the basic unit of every single society. It doesn't matter what part of the world that you are. That's the basic unit of society. And God created family to be a relationship, a place of relationship, a place where God's grace can be found. Okay, I'm just looking at what God had in mind when he created family, okay, when he instituted the family. He created family to be a relation, to be a place of relationship where his grace can be found, where people can find nurture, where people can find care and healing. These are just some of the things, you know, that I'm mentioning here. Family was supposed to be a place where individuals can grow up as persons in their individuality, one. Also, grow in their social relations with others, two. And also, in their relationship with God, number three. Okay. So, family, God created family that it will be that place where people will grow as individuals. But not only grow as individuals, they will grow in their, in their relations with others. You know, they will have good social relations. And also, they will have a good relationship with God. So really, truly, what I'm saying is that it's within the concept or the parameters of family that these three things should be happening. Unfortunately, that's not always the case. But that's how God intended it to be. That's how God intended it to be. Okay. So, but for the purpose of this teaching, I found a definition, you know, a simple definition of family that I want us to, you know, so that when I'm talking about family, you will understand what I'm referring to. And this was a James Dobson's definition. How many people know James Dobson? Okay, focus on the family. If you listen to Premier Radio very early in the morning, you know, early in the morning, 7 to 7:30, you know, we hear his program. Okay, and this is the definition he gives, and I really like this. He says, a family, you might want to note it down, a family is not a collection of individuals who happen to live at the same address. Amen. I like that. Is not. A family is not a collection of individuals who happen to live at the same address. Instead, they are people who share an intimate and complex connection with one another, being related by marriage or by birth or by adoption. So it's really a simple definition, so that when I say the word family, you know what I'm referring to. So I'll say that again. There are people who share an intimate and complex connection with one another, being related either by marriage or by birth or by adoption. Okay. Now let's go back to God's plan. You see, we always have to go back to God's plan in the area of family. When God instituted family, God's plan for each and every family, okay? And hear this with your spiritual ears. God's plan for each and every family was for it to have a leader, okay? God did not create a family to be leaderless, if I can use that kind of English, to be without a leader. Okay? And therefore, God assigned the man, that is the husband, the responsibility of being the head of the woman, his wife, and the family. You see, God is a God of order. So when God creates something, you see, he puts everything that is needed in place to make that thing function properly. Okay, that's why when the church was instituted, God gave it the head, and the head of the church is Jesus Christ. Amen. So, for everything that God institutes, God creates, he puts in place that which is needed to cause that thing to function the way that he wants it to. So that it will, you know, we will derive the benefits that we should derive from it. Okay, so that was what God do. God assigned the man to have the responsibility of being the head of the woman, his wife, and the family. Okay, so let's go to Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 22. I'm going to actually read 22 to 33. Okay. And I'm going to then read in chapter 6 from verse 1 to 4. To give you a picture. Amen. Ephesians 5, 22. Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify her and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Amen. Let's now go to Ephesians 6, verse 1 to 4. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Verse 4, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and in the admonition of the Lord. When we look at these scriptures that I've read, in Ephesians 5 and the first four verses in Ephesians 6, we see God's blueprint of how families should interact. This is God's blueprint. This is God's ideal. This is the way that God wanted it to be and still wants it to be. Okay. I know that our society doesn't understand that. Our society doesn't even necessarily agree with these scriptures, you know, that have just been read. And even to a large extent, even in the church today, we sometimes find this particular scriptures difficult to accept, you know, and to work with. But that's God's blueprint. This is how God wants families to interact, that the man be there, the man be the head, the man love his wife, the wife submit to her husband, the children submit to their parents, honoring their father and their mother, you know, and the parents not provoking them. That is God's ideal. That's what God wants to see in our homes. That's what God wants to see in families, in every part of the world, in every place on the face of the earth. That's what God wants. That's what God's heart is. Okay? That is God's ideal. But the facts today, you know, and I'm sure you will all agree with me, that's what God wants. That is what his heart is yearning for. But the facts today, however, show that this is far from the reality of family life in today's society and in today's homes. Okay, this, what I've read in Ephesians 5 and 6, is not happening in a lot of homes. It's not what is existent in homes. You know, the way homes are and the way the whole families have so disintegrated, you know, there are so many homes out there where there's not even the opportunity for this to happen. There's not even the opportunity because the father is not there, or, you know, the mother is not there, or the children are not there. So there's not even an opportunity for this to happen. But this is what God wants. Okay. And what we see, you know, coming down to the whole area of family breakdown, is that the enemy, in normal fashion, true to form, has been attacking this divine institution of God from day one. From the day that God created and instituted family, family has been under attack. It's been under attack. Even from the days of the Bible, if we look through the Old Testament, family has been under attack from day one. And that is what is still happening today. And it's just getting worse and worse. And this is because family is important to God. You know, many a times we talk about marriage being important to God, and that's why it's under so much attack. It's the same thing. Family is so important to God, and that is why the enemy has unleashed such, you know, an attack against it. And what we see today is family breakdown being the order of the day in our society. Even in societies where it was not so much of a problem, it's, you know, just everywhere you go, there is family breakdown. And it's just going from bad to worse. From bad to worse. But that was never God's ideal. And I really believe that we are a generation. I'm not saying that we are going to go out there and change society overnight. But I believe that we are a generation that God has called to begin to do something about it. To begin to do something about this, you know, trend of family breakdown. Okay. Like I said, it's going from bad to worse. And I found a quote from one of the lords in the House of Lords. And this was this quote. He made this statement sometime last year, October last year. When what happened is that somebody asked for statistics on the numbers of family breakdowns in the last 10 years. And this is what he said. He says, the government, and that's for this country, the government do not collect statistics on numbers of family breakdowns. You know, and thinking about that alone, you think, why do they not? It's probably so bad that they would rather keep it hush-hush. Okay? So he says, the government do not collect statistics on numbers of family breakdowns. But then he goes on to say, outside divorce, relationship breakdowns are difficult to define and record. But it is estimated that each year, between 150,000 and 200,000 couples with children separate. And I just want you to think about that for a moment. This is what they're estimating. Only God knows what it is. Between 150,000, you know, 150,000 is a lot. 150,000 and 200,000 couples with children separate. And this is made up of 100,000 divorces and between 50,000 and 100,000 cohabiting relationships breaking down. It's mind, you know, I found it mind blowing to think about. And the reason why I shared that is that for us to see that he is getting bad. He is quite bad. That is a lot. In one nation, it's a lot. Okay, we're not even talking about the whole of Europe. We're just talking about Great Britain. Okay, so that is the reality of what is happening. That's the reality, you know, of what's happening in our society. Okay. So what causes this breakdown? You know, why do we have family breakdown? You know, and there are several reasons. But one reason that the Holy Spirit dropped on my heart, it was just one word. And everything else can be traced to that one word. And that one word is sin. You know, and that was something that the Holy Spirit just dropped in my heart. What really is the major cause of family breakdown? It is sin. And everything else comes back to that. You know, the choices that people make all come back to that. That sinful nature that causes us and causes people to make, you know, the wrong choices. Okay. But I'm going to give some specific causes of breakdown. Number one, and it is number one in every aspect. When you talk about family breakdown, the first thing I'm going to say here is always number one. And, you know, it is the highest number of breakdowns are going to come from this reason, and it's divorce and separation. that is the biggest cause of family breakdown. It's the biggest cause of family breakdown. Okay, divorce and separation. The second one has to do with, you know, and these are really of, you know, they're not as big as the divorce and separation. The second one is low socioeconomic status. Okay, and this has to do with, you know, financial status, you know, where there is poverty. Okay, so when I talk about low socioeconomic status, that is another reason why there is breakdown of family. Another big reason is cohabitation. Cohabitation. Even though I'm sure that, you know, the government and the world would like us to think that cohabitation is not such a bad thing, but it actually leads to so much breakdown in family, people cohabiting. Okay? And there's some statistics about, I'm just going to see if I can find that. About that. In terms of cohabitation, nearly one in two cohabiting parents split up before their child's fifth birthday, compared to one in 12 married parents. I'll say it again. Nearly one in two. So what does it mean? When there are two cohabiting parents, for every two cohabiting parents, man and woman, you know, cohabiting, before their child's fifth birthday, they would have split up. For every...
One. 50%.
So no wonder, going back to what that Lord said, when he said there's at least 100,000... between 50 and 100,000 cohabiting relationships breaking down. Between 50 and 100,000. That is a lot. And do you know, many a times there are people who have been cohabiting for maybe a little while, and there are several children that come out of this cohabiting, you know, relationships. So when you're talking about, you know, 50 to 100,000 cohabiting couples, you know, splitting up, can you imagine the amount of children that are also coming out of those relationships that are being affected and severely affected by family breakdown? You know, because it's not when people, you know, separate or whatever, it's not just them, it's the children. It's, you know, everybody else that is part of that family that gets affected. So it's, you know, it's a real big problem. So cohabitation is another one, another cause of breakdown. Family breakdown. Another one is migration, and this is one that sometimes one doesn't really look at. But, you know, we live in a world where there is a lot of migration at the moment. People are always, you know, immigrating and emigrating. And sometimes this contributes to the breakdown of family, you know. And many a times the intention at the beginning when decisions are made to migrate and do all that, you know, obviously the couples don't intend for it to bring about breakdown in their relationship or their family. But this also contributes to it. Also contributes to it. Okay. Migration. Okay. Another one is domestic abuse. And there's several, which I won't be able to mention every one of them, but there's so many of them. Domestic abuse. You know, all kinds of abuses, actually, not just domestic abuse, causes breakdown of family. Okay. Another one is drug and alcohol misuse. On the other hand, drug and alcohol misuse can be a consequence. Okay. just like it can be the cause of family breakdown, it can also be the consequence, you know, because there are people who, when the family breaks down, they're just so distraught, you know. And if there's if that area of weakness was already in them, some people, that's what drives them to drink. Some people, they are driven to, you know, to drugs. Some people are even driven to commit suicide or to want to commit suicide. Okay. So that's another one, but it can also be a consequence. This is just a little bit, but I'm just going to read very quickly. A few consequences of these breakdowns. And what I want to say is that the consequences of family breakdowns is always disastrous. And I'm intentionally using such a strong word like that because sometimes we don't realize that it's a really, really horrible thing. It really is. It is disastrous. Okay. So I'm going to read, and with it, what I'm going to read here has to do mostly with children. Okay. And what they suffer, the consequences that they suffer. Okay. I'll start with, when there's a family breakdown, for example, in a family of maybe a husband and wife, and for example, the husband walks out of the family and the woman becomes a lone parent, you know, a woman looking after the children on her own. Some of the things that they go through, some of the consequences of that, for example, are that such lone parents or lone mothers become poorer. And I'm talking financially, okay? They become poorer, okay? Because, for example, if you're talking about a family where there was two income, or the husband was the main breadwinner and there's this family breakdown, the woman is definitely going to come out poorer, okay? They're also more likely to suffer from stress, depression, and other emotional and psychological problems. So, you know, it's like, it's not just one thing. It's not that they come out financially poorer. You know, if it was just that on its own, then you could say, okay, yes. But it's not just that it is on its own. It's the other things that accompany it. The other things that accompany it. And the other things, like I said, are things like stress, depression, and emotional and psychological problems. And if we were to even go into that one by one, you know, we wouldn't even have the time to do that, okay? Such people have more health problems, it's been proven, more health problems, okay? They also may have more problems interacting with their children. These are all consequences, you know, and it's food for thought for us as Christians, first of all, to let us realize that we should not be a partaker in those things that cause family breakdown. We need to strenuously fight to make sure that families remain together. And when there's been family breakdown, we do everything to alleviate the consequences and the effects of it. Okay. Another consequence is, for example, for non-resident biological fathers, is that they are at risk of losing contact with their children. Okay, so when the father is not there, the father is not resident, they are at loss. They are at risk of losing contact with their children. They are also more likely to have health problems and engage in high-risk behavior. When I say high-risk behavior, I'm talking about things like drink, alcohol, drugs, pornography, you know, those kind of things that are dangerous to the health, okay, that are really, really dangerous. So it's not just the woman that, you know, it affects, it affects the men as well. Okay? Also, with children who are living without their biological fathers, they are more likely to live in poverty and deprivation. Okay? They are more likely to have more trouble in school. They tend to have more trouble getting along with others. That's another consequence. They tend to have more, you know, trouble getting along with school. So where other children are just getting on with it, they struggle, you see. They struggle. And it's important for us to know this, because when I was looking at this, you know, it also gave me a sense of, especially when we are within the context of a family where our family, we're not going through that family breakdown, we are not suffering from that. To also have compassion, especially on children who, you know, have been, have come out of homes where there is family breakdown. Because, you know, when I think about, you know, when married couples break up and all that, I just, you know, my heart just goes out for the children, you know, and I think maybe that's because of my experience, but my heart just goes out for the children, because the first thing I think about is it wasn't their fault. They were not, they didn't choose to be brought into this world. We as adults made the choices that caused them to come into this world, you know. And therefore, why should they go through all this? So it gives you a sense of, you know, just developing compassion for young people and children who, you know, come from a home that has been broken, okay. So they, I was saying, they have more trouble in school. They tend to have more trouble getting along with others. They have higher risk of health problems as well. And they are at greater risk of suffering physical, emotional, or sexual abuse as well. Because the adults that should be a source of protection for them are not there. They're not there. Each person has gone their own way, made their own choices, and these children are caught in between. Okay. And I'm going to do one more. Teenagers. Teenagers living without their biological fathers are more likely to experience problems with sexual health. They are more likely to become teenage parents themselves. They are more likely to offend. They're more likely to smoke, and they're more likely to drink alcohol. So when you see everything that I've said here, you see that that's exactly what we're seeing in our society today. So we are seeing the result of family breakdown. No other thing. We're seeing the result of the choice to sin, the choice to do it our own way. That is all we are seeing. So yes, we're at loss what to do with the gun culture. We really are. Even as a church, we really are at loss because even with the efforts that are being put, it's still continuing. But this is why, you know. And next week I will be sharing some quotes from politicians who are now literally beginning to wake up to realize that, look here, we've messed up with the laws and the regulations and the things that we have put in place. And they're now beginning to say with their own mouth, family is what is needed. You know, so just wanted to share just those few things, you know. And just to say finally, God never makes a mistake, and therefore, when he instituted family, he didn't make a mistake. He didn't. And we need to go back to his blueprint, which we saw in Ephesians 5 and Ephesians 6. Let us pray.
If you have been blessed by this message, please don't hesitate to contact us at www.wordoflife-lcc.org. And remember, God loves you.